because the acorn falls on the chicken's head. And she decides to tell the king, and on her journey, she meets other animals as she's going along, and all of the animals very conveniently have rhyming names. Goosey Lucy, Henny Penny, Cocky Locky, and Foxy Loxy. Now, Foxy Loxy was like the last animal that Chicken Little met. And Foxy Loxy, being a sly fox, wanted to do something to Chicken Little and the friends. How many here could guess what Foxy Loxy wanted to do? That's right, he wanted to eat them. They looked pretty good to him. So, the chicken was jumping to this conclusion because the acorn fell on his head, and he felt the whole world was falling, the sky was falling, and he really whipped the populace into mass hysteria, while the unscrupulous fox, Foxy Loxy, thought he would take advantage of the situation and, have a little snack, kind of like a snack pack from, Kentucky Fried Chicken or something. Now, if Chicken Little had a bigger vision, he would see that it was just an acorn, wouldn't he? Chicken Little would say, oh, acorn hit my head, and he wouldn't jump to a conclusion. He would settle down and, maybe in my story, Chicken Little would have like a three-piece boring gray suit on or something like that. But Chicken Little did not have a bigger vision, and the Bible says that where there is no vision, the people perish. How many of you have heard that verse before? Where there is no vision, where you have no vision for your life, no direction, no guiding principles for your life, then basically you perish. You perish inside first, and then eventually you perish because the death rate is 100% less than they look. What I would also say is that people living with a small vision live lives that are boring, frightening, or frightened by everything, and kind of dull. They live lives of self-protection. Even all of these people that you see that have a lot of bling and, they look really famous, honestly, compared to a person that is trusting God with their lives, their life is really dull. Really boring. I mean, so boring that you would snore away. They do the same things over and over and over again. Well, Jesus gives us a vision of what life is like in the kingdom of God, or His rule. This vision is kind of laid out for us in Matthew 5-7. And you don't have to read it right now, unless you get bored with what I'm saying and you want to turn there. But this vision is laid out. It's commonly known as the Beatitudes. And towards the end of chapter 6, he gives us a bigger vision of life that we really would need to hear right now during these very turbulent economic times. Really turbulent times in the world, whether it's economic worries or tourism worries, there are a lot of worries that can make us worried and lose the joy of what it is to be a Christian and what it is to have a Savior who was born to us this Christmas season. Even the English website that I was looking at said that a financial crisis that we are facing right now is unmatched since the Great Depression. This really is a very turbulent time. You would have to agree with it. Many have lost their jobs. I know someone right here in this congregation who've lost their jobs. Or if you haven't lost your job yet, you probably know someone that lost their job. Can I just have a show of hands of people who knew someone who lost their jobs or are losing their jobs? Yeah, it's quite a bit, quite a few people. So we need a bigger vision for our life. And how do we have a hope or a vision that would help us preserve. If you have your Bible, I would ask you to turn again to Matthew 6, and we'll look at our Lord's Word. Matthew 6, verse 24 is really where my first point will come from, and that is that God wants our love. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Jesus teaches here that a person has no ability to perform duties of service for more than one thing, more than one master. Notice the word love there. God really wants our love. He doesn't want just your butt sitting there in the seat every week. He wants your heart sitting before his throne every day. He wants your love. And love originated with God, right? Remember that? That's what the whole Christmas season is about. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. So, this Christmas, we celebrate Jesus. As Pastor Jeff shared last week, we focus our eyes, the eyes of our heart, our lives on Jesus, because he really is the purpose of our life. He really is the reason for the season. And he really is the hope for the whole world. Don't you find it funny? I find it very funny that this time there are millions of unbelievers, people who don't believe in Jesus, who believe in God, who are singing the praises of Jesus. I think it's hysterical. I was watching the lighting of the Christmas tree, and they were singing, "Joy to the world, the Savior is born." Those people either know, they may or may not know Jesus. But the fact is that people all over the world are worshiping him, praising him, giving him honor and praise, because he's the great God, the great King. We can only love God because he loves us first. But it's a choice that he wants us to make. He wants our devotion. That's what it says in verse 24. He'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. That word devotion there, the idea that he wants us to cling to him, to hold fast to him, to love him. Do you love God like that today, right this morning? Is that an attitude of your heart? Are you devoted to him? Are you clinging to him? Are you depending on him? You have a choice. You will either love God or be devoted to God, or be devoted to yourself and ultimately money. See, this idea of loving two masters is not exclusive to Christianity, although I believe it originated here. It's an idea that's played out over and over and over again. That's kind of why love triangle movies sell, right? You know, you have a love triangle. Who will she choose, the beautiful architect or the ugly pizza vendor? You know, you have movies like that all the time. Actually, it goes back to a song. There's a song that was out when I was, you know, a teenager that was like, "Torn between two lovers." Do you remember the song? Anybody remember that? Thank you. There's one person. It's about my age, that's why. You see, you have no ability, you have no power, you have no way you can serve two lovers. That's what the word is saying there, that no one could serve two masters. The actual words, they have no power, they have no ability. You can't sit on the fence. That's basically what it's saying. You either love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, or you won't love him. You'll love something else. Are you sitting on the fence this morning? Are you right there? I was there like 30 years ago, and I got off the fence. So it's really at our core. We cannot be devoted to our job, our career, our family, our wife, or anything else in God. It doesn't work. It can't be done. So we must choose today and for this Christmas that we will love God, that we will cling to Him, that we will devote to Him more than our shopping for that, you know, special gift, that meeting that special person, that significant other's wish or desire. We need to be devoted to God during this Christmas season. What that may mean is that you need to spend extra time with God in prayer and Bible study, even more than you normally do. Get up a little bit early if you feel your heart racing and you have so many things going on. To spend time with God, to pray to Him, to devote your life to Him. If you do not choose God, if you do not choose to serve Him, then we will be an anxious person. A person that anxious is worried about their next suit or their next meal or their next latte. But this Christmas season, I would challenge you and exhort you to cling to God, to love God, and to enjoy His love. That's another reason why you want to spend extra time with God. Not only to show your love to Him, but to enjoy His love. He longs to show you His love. But we're so busy sometimes that we push Him aside and we say, yeah, I'll get back to tomorrow, God, you know, when I get done with X, Y, Z. So this Christmas season, spend extra time showing your heart's devotion to God, to your love to God. And then Jesus adds this. It says this, God wants our days. I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. Matthew 6:25-34. God wants our days. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Why are you not much more valuable than they? Jesus, that in light of the inability to serve God our daily necessities, refuse to be overly concerned about daily vital needs. Jesus, that God's care of a little bird should assure us that it's care of us. How many here you wake up every morning and hear the birds chirping? Raise your hand if you could. Yeah, there's a tree outside my window. There are a lot of birds. I'd like to cut the tree down, but I can't. You know, then they'd throw me out of the community. And I'd be a homeless person. That'd be another problem. But Jesus is teaching here that God cares for these little birds. He cares for, He feeds them. Basically, who feeds the birds? Besides, you know, the people who, you know, like birds and they have those little bird feeders. But those little bird feeders can't feed 7 billion or so birds. I don't know how many birds there are in the world. God feeds the birds. He gives them little worms that they pick out of the ground, little things. Does a bird go to work? Have you ever noticed a bird going to work in the morning, you know, like walking alongside you with their briefcase? There's a lot of people that are bird brains, but I've never really seen a bird go to work. Thank you for letting me. Or about, so you don't have to worry about eating, because God is going to take care of the issue. So when you get together, it's a practical idea. When you get together with your friends after church and you can't decide where to eat, really it doesn't matter that much. Grab a bowl of noodles at Noodle Gourmet or something. Or go eat some bad Chinese food at one of these local Chinese restaurants. It really doesn't matter. What matters more is your fellowship, your caring for one another, your loving one another, that's what matters more. Don't worry really too much about what you're eating. But if you're like me, you probably don't worry so much about what you're eating, unless you're not like me and you worry a lot about eating. But you worry about anything else. You know, you don't worry about eating, but you worry about everything else. How many here are like that? Nobody wants to admit it. Okay. So then Jesus says, who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and is thrown tomorrow into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you have a little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all of these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. Jesus challenges us that unbelievers, those who do not know God, those that eat do not even want to know God, or have no opportunity to know Him, make it their goal of their life the pursuit of daily necessities, of daily things. Jesus is challenging you today that you are not to worry. The word there is Mary Manal or Mary Manate. It's the idea of worrying, and he says it four times. He's making a point, brothers and sisters. If you're worrying more about food and clothes than you are spending time with God, developing your love relationship with Him, then what's going on in your heart? What's taking place in your life? Jesus asked a rhetorical question on the value of being anxious over items worn to cover our bodies when flowers need to work nor weave. Flowers really don't worry. Did you ever walk past a flower and see it worrying? I hope not. They've mentioned for that. But how many here went to Black Friday? You don't have to raise your hand. I went. It was a kind of a hysterical thing, seeing millions of people crowded, grabbing clothes and waiting in long lines to pay for it. I just went to Macy's with me. It was kind of fun, actually. But there's a lot of people there are very worried about clothes, very worried about finding that special gift. What does this special gift mean? Yopiani Yohal. What that means is that it's good and that it's inexpensive. Isn't that right? That's like the desire of everybody's heart. Oh, I got to get the perfect gift that's cheap. And it's good quality. Jesus says, don't worry. Don't make your life be all about that. Jesus says this in Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Jesus tells us that pursuing God's rule primarily will seek receiving our daily needs also. The message puts it this way. There it is. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provision. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. In almost 20 years of ministry, I almost always hear the same excuse for not becoming a missionary or being a pastor. The idea of not becoming a missionary that, like, you know, whether it's short-term missions or, you know, mid-term missions, long-term missions, the idea of becoming a missionary that makes people fear the most is found in just two words, support raising. People would rather spend a year in a Russian gulag than support raise. They would do anything but support raise. Walk and Elizabeth, there they are. They overcame that now 1 month for embarking on a great adventure, living among people who have walked from God with us, for being a part of bringing them God's word. Did you hear the excitement in Clark's voice when we interviewed him for the mission conference? Or if you happen to see him last week, it's like, you know, he's 20 again and facing a whole new life. He's excited about it. He's about to embark on a whole new adventure. That word adventure, does that word mark your life, men and women? Is it a part of your life where you feel that your life really is an adventure? This is what Jesus is offering. He's offering that we follow him, we seek him, we seek his righteousness, and then do whatever he leads you to do, whether it's be a missionary or enter the ministry with little pay. If we're seeking him and believing him, you want to know something? It's not going to matter, because we're caught up with his kingdom and his righteousness. It's not going to matter. That's what Jesus is offering us, men and women. He's offering us an opportunity to live life as an adventure. Don't live life as Henny Penny or Lucky Ducky or whatever those preachers were. Chicken Little, just like, you know, sky's falling, the world's coming to an end. We as Christians are not tied to money. We need it, we use it, but we do not worship it or depend on it. Is that right? So if God calls us to another job in another state, or God is calling us to another position, you know, we don't worry initially about the pay. We worry initially about what is this going to be for my investment in the kingdom of God. That is what God is doing. He's inviting us on an adventure. When you become a Christian, your whole life has been turned upside down. I don't know if anyone explained this to you. If not, I'm explaining it today. Your life is really turned upside down. It's all about God and his righteousness, his kingdom. It's not like, how do I get God to give me the things that I want? It's more like, how can I do things for his kingdom? How can I do things for his righteousness? How does my life fit in his plan? Not how does God fit in my plan. How does my life fit in his plan? That's what God is calling us to do. We don't make decisions on life based only on money. How much does it pay? Is it risky? What about the retirement benefits? This is not what drives us to decide on what we are to do. Too many people have a small vision of their life based on caring for their basic needs. They don't have a vision of God, of how we can and will provide for them, or how we can and will use them. Is that what your life is this morning? So what can we do today during this Christmas season that's different? Well, I'll take, for example, Christmas gifts. You don't need another sweater or socks or underwear or even an iTunes card. But somewhere in Africa, you use a blanket or a meal or inoculation, they could definitely use the love of Jesus. They could definitely use your care. So in lieu of gifts that you receive or give to one another, give to a special project that some missionary is working on, like Cindy Chen, who needs a reliable car, because if her car breaks down, she may be killed by the rebels. Did you ever think about that? Can you give $20 to help Cindy get a new car? Can you give $50, or are you committed to that new sweater, that new iPod, that new pair of underwear? Maybe you need the pair of underwear. If you Google, you know, this Christmas, I would challenge you to go home today and Google ideas of giving missionaries or giving gifts to people in foreign countries for Christmas. One year, a good friend of mine gave a lamb in my name to some Mongolian guy. He probably ate it by now, but, you know, but these are creative things that we could do as Christians this Christmas time to be a time where we really give extravagantly. You know, we are not afraid of our own, you know, what gifts we receive. We give extravagantly. I'll give you an example. How about right here in our congregation? Let's say someone loses their job. I use Dustin as an example, since I know his family. Let's say Dustin loses his job. Yeah. The baby get it, I don't know. But let's say he loses his job and he would like to see, you know, buy a Christmas gift for Sandy and for his mom. But Dustin just lost his job. You know something that you can do creative, brothers and sisters, is buy Christmas gifts for Dustin, for Sandy, and for his mom. Did you get that? Or should I say it again slowly? So Dustin may not have the money to get the gifts, but you do it for him. If it's not Dustin, maybe it's one of our college student friends. You know, college students don't make a lot of money. And maybe they need some help buying gifts for their mom, dad, brother, sister, whatever. We can be creative this Christmas. We can be extravagant in the gifts that we give to other people, in the love that we show to Jesus Christ, because of the great love that God showed us. I've waited too long to do this. I've got a confession to make. I've waited too long to do this. I'm 47, I'll be 48 next week. And, you know, that's kind of old. But I've waited this long to give gifts to other people or to give Christmas gifts to those that are less fortunate than I am. But you know, I hope to do it for as long as I live, the rest of my life, whether it be a year, 2 years, 10 years, 30 years, I own. I hope that God will bless me with the resources that I can share with my brothers and sisters worldwide, in China, in Africa, in South America, in, you know, all over the world. And then your time. If you're working, you probably have a 2 week vacation. How many have a 2 week vacation? Okay, how many have more than 2 weeks? That's great. If you have a 2 week vacation, your time really ultimately belongs first to God. Right? Amen. So, your time, what you should look at your vacation time and say, God, what is it that you want me to do with my vacation time? See, we're seeking first God and His kingdom, right? That's what His word says. So we reverse it, not like, oh, I can't wait to lay on the beach. You may want to do that. I don't know. If you want to do that, I'll carry bags for you. But, you know, he definitely wants you to rest and reconnect with your friends and recharge your batteries. But maybe, just maybe, he wants you to use your 2 weeks to go on a church as short-term mission. Either go with their church or even Ming and I as we go to China next April. That we are last April or March or something. There's March in Macau. It's not your vacation time, it's God's. It's not your life, it's really God's. So do have a small vision of your life that rises or falls with the stock market. Jesus paid with his own blood to redeem you, to give you a much bigger picture of life. If you know Jesus this Christmas, then ask him to give you a bigger vision for what your life can be all about. If you don't know Jesus this Christmas, this is a great time to commit your heart to Jesus Christ. Talk to Pastor Jeff. Talk to me. Talk to your friends that brought you. Talk to them about how you can know Jesus Christ. It was Sir Francis Drake. There he is. He's dead. But, you know, he was an explorer in the 16th century. He lived 1540 to 1590. He was the first Englishman to do what? Everybody knows this? 50 points. This here, there we go. Write novel, maybe, that. Thank you, Gabriel. But I'm thinking of something else. He was the first Englishman that sailed around the world. And Sir Francis Drake is reported to have prayed this prayer. He was born to Christian parents. His father was a Christian farmer. He was reported to say this prayer. Disturb us, Lord, when we are too pleased with ourselves, when our dreams have come true because we have dreamed too little, or we arrive safely because we have sailed too close to the shore. Disturb us, Lord, with the abundance of things we possess. We have lost our thirst for the words of life. Having fallen in love with life, we cease to dream of eternity. In our efforts to build the new earth, we have allowed our vision of new heavens to dim. Disturb us, Lord, to dare more boldly, to venture on wilder seas, where storms will show you mastery. We're losing sight of the land. We shall find the stars. We ask you to push back the horizons of our hopes and to push us into the future in strength, courage, hope, and love. Let's pray. Father, this morning I would pray with my brother, Sir Francis Drake, that you would disturb us. If we dream dreams that are too small for our life, or we have possessions that are clouding our lives, disturb us and let us know that we are made as Christians to seek your kingdom and your righteousness, and you will provide all the things that we don't need. Father, we love you. We thank you for this church. We will come to worship you. We pray that this Christmas time we would be extravagant in the gifts that we give to others. We'd be extravagant in the love that we show to people. In Jesus' name. Amen.